All right, welcome to healing class.
Yes, thank you.
Praise God.
Yes, hallelujah.
How many are here this morning with an expectation? Okay, that's one. Number two, who in here requires a manifestation, seeks, desires a manifestation in the healing stakes? Your right hand. Hallelujah. 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 As we go on in this class, I want you to carry the consciousness, the awareness, knowledge, and understanding that that manifestation does not elude you. Is yours. Today, this morning, right here, right now, in the name of Jesus. Yes. By the power of the Most High. And we'll see and be reminded one more time how that God has already provided. And not just that, has freely given, based on the price paid in full, and in accordance with His word. Yeah. Of His fullness, you have received. You have received. Say, I have received. I have received.
Have received.
And as far as the stakes, physical, whatever that thing is, by whatever name, as you exit the door, there's no longer a hold.
That's right.
On you, or a crevice, or an aspect in your body, which is God's temple, wherein He dwells in what? In power.
Yes.
He does not just exist or live within you. He lives in you in power. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Give you all the praise and glory. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your power and presence here. Thank you, Lord, for the finished work of the cross and that which you have richly, freely bestowed on us, lavished on us, to wit, our healing. That is, including our healing. Thank you, Father, for having borne it all in and through Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for tangible manifestation of healing in this place. In bodies, in hearts.
Yes, yes.
Effectuating change as by your Spirit.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And so you don't leave the same way you came.
That's right.
Hallelujah. That's right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want us to take a moment and just ourselves, just countenance the fact, think on the truth, the reality that He's here. Just take a moment. Let that sink in. And that He dwells in you, resides in you in power. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
Friends, expectation should, right now, should be ramped up in your hearts, in your minds, in your thinking.
Yes.
That thing dies the death. That thing gets, it's not just malleation or a change, but that thing, whatever it is expunged by the power of God and withers.
Yes, the root of it away. Is destroyed. Hallelujah. Bless your name, Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah.
By the power of God and in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Wow. Amen. Amen. And so, friends, I want to take some time today and just close out on something we looked at, considered, contemplated about 3 weeks ago concerning, who can remember? One word. Unbelief. Unbelief. We were in our conversation, in our discussion, we were able to see, because the question was and remains, why is it that sometimes we cited 1 Peter 2:24, we cited Isaiah in chapter 53, by his stripes we were what?
Healed.
And so by his stripes we are what?
Healed.
So why is it then that it somehow appears, or to all intents and purposes, feels like it's hard to what? See it. There's a challenge there as far as in the experiential, in our experience. Here's the truth. Why is it? Why is it? Carol?
We're not dead.
We're not dead. That is, you're still existing. Well, praise God. We will close out with one scripture that has a bearing on that, Carol, which will leave us with nothing else but joyful, confident assurance regarding our state here and in time to come. And that's in Romans 8:11. And we must go there. Not right now, but that's how we're going to close out. I don't want to jump. But thank you, Carol. Unbelief. We were, in our conversation, able to highlight unbelief. What is unbelief? How does unbelief show up? Why is it such a hindrance to us seeing the manifestation of that which is rightfully ours? Because, friends, in my time here in healing class over the years, one thing I keep hammering is this: we cannot afford to look at healing or to contemplate healing with a futuristic sense to say, oh, I will get it. I will get it. No. You already have it. You already got it. At best, what you're highlighting, at best, what you're referencing, at best, what you're looking at is the what? The what? Manifestation or the seeing or the experiencing of it. But you already do what? Have it. If you think, oh, I will get it, then there's a short circuit, as it were, because you're moving away from the truth as revealed in the face of Jesus, from the truth as revealed based on the finished work. Because if he, by the Spirit, through the word, says by his stripes you were healed, then guess what? You were healed. There's no other way to try and define that, no other way to try and, you know, go around that. And many in the church have found ways in their mind, in their thinking, to try and nullify what God's word expressly says. No. To give excuses. And we've spent time looking in God's word in several places to see that, I'm sorry, friends, but on the sands of time, it is too late. I'm trying to paraphrase our last time now. It's too late on the sands of time for experience or for sensory perception to tell me different. What do I mean by that? We walk by what?
Faith.
And not by what?
Sight.
Not by, oh, how I'm feeling, what's going on, all of that, to try and move you away from the truth and the reality of that which is done. So sometimes we struggle with that. How does unbelief play up, show up? Examples. What is it and how does it manifest? What are the ways in which it manifests?
Well,
Hearing something contrary to the word of God.
Hearing something contrary to the word?
Just focusing on the wrong thing. Focusing on what's plaguing you and your feelings and how it feels instead of the truth of God.
Instead of the truth. We ought to let the truth predominate. But sometimes in our minds, we major in the minor. Not that, it doesn't matter. Because guess what? Your health matters. He paid, when you think about the price paid, and to what extent, all that he gave.
Yes.
You know that it matters, it counts. Mm-hmm. And we already saw how that, our pains, our sicknesses, diseases, he bore that. What other way does unbelief, how does it show up? Because we have to be able to identify. Yes, Carol.
Reasonings.
Could you explain further?
Well, because you reason away the truth.
You reason away the truth.
Yeah, you don't hold fast to the truth. Mm-mm. You start to look at other things.
Reason it away. And guess what? The world in which we live right now gives us ample ammunition. Ample ammunition to be able to reason in that way, as Carol just said. From the names of the infirmities now, names being created and things being created and conjured up. Oh, it's this one, and then it's that name, and then it's that. And you're like, whoa, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's this medication and that shot. Okay. As we're an endless line of a barrage of it. Well, then, are we going to be moved or swayed by that? Reasoning. Mm-hmm. Reasoning. Let's look at that. For example, reasoning. When we look at reasoning, one thing I see that is implicated clearly in that is when it comes to that reasoning, and correct me if this doesn't tally, then we're talking about what? Say it out, Carol.
Wavering.
Wavering. So when we talk about unbelief, something that goes with that, the root of that, that engenders that, that qualifies that, that is a subset of that, that is a sign of that, that is a show of that, is when we waver. Unbelief. Romans 4, verse 20. Romans 4, 20 in reference to Abraham. Who's got it? Romans 4, 20. Who's got it?
He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God.
Mm-hmm. All right. Who's got a different version? Thank you, Ken.
That was King James.
Who's got another version?
He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God.
Mm-hmm. He did not waver at the promise of God through what? Unbelief. The Amplified has it this way. No unbelief or distrust made him waver, that is, doubtingly question concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and was empowered by faith. Unbelief. Unbelief brings about a wavering. A wavering is attached to unbelief. Blake, you had something?
The message.
Message.
He didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautiously skeptical questions. He plunged into the promise and came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good on what he had said.
Can you repeat that tiptoe aspect again, please? Say it again, Blake, loud.
Tiptoe around God's promise. That's
Doing what? He didn't tiptoe. Doing what?
Asking questions.
Yeah. Doting about questions. Well, friends, the questions that we get to, in this regard, are not questions that we necessarily utter or bring out verbally. They're questions that go on where, friends? Let's be real. Tip, and in your heart, in your mind, in your heart, in your thinking. Well, did he really play in full? Have I really got it? Does 1 Peter 2:24 actually implicate healing? What does this have to do with physical healing? Is this healing for the here and now? Is this healing for the sweet by and by? Does this healing relate to me personally, specifically, particularly? Can I go on? Friends, those questions are what?
Skeptical questions.
Wavering skepticism.
Friends, as it concerns God's word in relation to healing and divine health, I'm encouraging us as brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's not somewhere where we want to be, or somewhere where we want to dwell, or somewhere where we want to remain. And it's important, it's pertinent, it's germane that we are able to identify quick a lot, real quickly, when we're going down what that path, or when we are on that path, or on that road, or in that space, to recognize it for what it is. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking with love, care, and compassion in my heart to all of us. Don't stay there. Have I been there? Yes. Do I remain there? No. Do I purpose to remain there? No. Amen? Any thoughts or questions before we go on as we ponder this? He didn't waver. Reasoning. You know, and that's it's real, friends. Did Jesus really pay, or do I have to carry? And we see, to all intents and purposes, as we live now, it feels like, oh, it feels like I'm carrying something. It feels like you're carrying something. It feels like not just carrying, but like you're carrying big time. But it's not mine to carry. It's not yours to carry. So how do we navigate? Mark 11. Can we turn to Mark 11? Let's turn to Mark 11 on verse 22. Recognizing. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 24.
Pastor.
Yes.
Could you expound on it? Not mine to carry, not yours to carry. What do you mean by that?
I'm saying that that's not something that belongs to you in the sense of it doesn't belong. Remember, I started earlier by saying that your body, 1 Corinthians 6:19, my body, your body, is whose temple?
God's.
Whose abiding place?
Temple.
Whose dwelling place?
Yeah.
And God, because of who He is, power is implicated. He dwells in you in power. And you can, Ephesians 6:19 and Ephesians 3:20. Unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what? According to the power that what? That works where?
In
us. Because He's in us, because He lives in us. He's power, all powerful. And He dwells within.
Yes. True.
And because His word says, by His stripes you were healed, that means indeed and in truth you were healed. And so all of that I just said to say that, in utilizing expressions we've used here in healing class before, we're talking about, Blake, can you give it to me, not an invader, someone who's trespassing. Sickness or disease does not have a continuing place. For me, I say, it doesn't have an abiding city within my body. So that means actively you have to reject that, and we're going to see some things about that right now, okay? Yeah. Yeah, because we can't settle. Choose not to settle. Opt not to settle. Don't say, oh, okay, it's there, and say, okay, well, I can live with that. I can manage. That means you've given inroad, and so it says, oh, okay, yeah, oh, I can make this place comfortable now. I can live and lurk in there and just like, okay, have a field day. But because you recognize that, you say, no, stop it, break it now, out. No longer welcome. No room. There's no room in the inn, if you like, you know, whatever it is, however you want to put it. No room. in this inn, in this temple, in this tent, in this tabernacle. Mark 11, 23. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in what? In who? In God. For surely I what say to you, whoever what says to this mountain, what? Be removed and what? Cast into what? The sea. That right there is in expression, in actuality, that right there is the imperative command. Mm-hmm. We can't be passive. As a believer, you cannot be passive. I'm applying this and I'm reading this, looking at this within the context, application to what we're talking about, conversating about this morning, healing and walking in divine health. Okay? So that's the imperative, that's the authoritative command. Be what? Remove. You're not begging, you're not assuaging, you're saying, out! Get out! Be removed and cast what? Into the sea. And what? And does not what? Doubt. Where? In his heart. Does not doubt in his cardia. Does not doubt in his heart. But what? Believes. So there's an antidote, friends, for all intents and purposes, to doubt, for unbelief, and for wavering. What is it? Believe. What? But believes that those things he what? He says will what? Be done. It doesn't stop there. He says he will what? He will have whatever he says. What is the occasion for doubting in this verse? What is the occasion? From what the verses we just looked at, what is the occasion for doubting? What is the thing that makes doubting be or come in the, appear in the picture?
You don't believe that's what you say is going to come to pass.
Yeah, that's descriptive. Thank you. What else? Thank you, Carol.
Well, it started with the fig tree, though.
Correct. Correct. And because of time, I didn't go up top. So in just highlighting and putting a scope or putting a lens on these two verses, I want you, let's look at it again. What's the premise? What's the occasion for doubting? What is in there? What do we see in that verse that makes it that doubting is then implicated? Now comes up.
God's unlimited power.
God's unlimited power. That's what we should anchor on. That's what we should fall back on. That's what we should depend on in our believing. Yes. What is the occasion for doubting in this verse? What is the premise?
Unbelief.
Unbelief.
Not doubting in your heart, your mind. Because you can think in your mind, but that does not have to do with your heart. Your heart is different.
That's an aspect, yes. One more, and then I'll... Who's got one more thing? Thank you.
Unbelief.
Yes, unbelief has been mentioned, but in looking at the context, what is the occasion for doubting? Let me put it this way. What is the premise? Number one, friends, it is the very nature of what? Number one, the very nature of a mountain. A mountain. A mountain. If you were to describe a mountain, how are you going to describe it? It's what?
Big.
It's big. It's huge. It's... My kids would use it as a ginormous, or somebody, it's humongous, yeah. Humongous.
The largest thing you can see.
The largest thing you can see. So that's why, oh my, this is too great. Oh my, this is too huge. So in application-wise, we raised our hands up earlier on. What is that thing that has assailed you? What is that thing that has been a challenge in your health? What is the name of it? What is the name of it? What have you been told about it? How long has it been? I'm trying to let you know the things that come together to constitute that huge mountain now. The name of it, what have been, all the information you've had, both given and the ones you've searched out, or we've searched out.
Fear.
The length of the term of it, how there's so many things in the mix that brings the whole picture of a mountain. Carol, you had something.
I was just going to say, you're making that mountain bigger than what you're recognizing God to be. So you're respecting that mountain more than you're respecting the power of God.
Respecting the mountain more than the power of God. And so meanwhile, the scripture, the point of it is to do what? Have faith in who? In God. And to have faith in God, here I am saying to you this morning, your focus, your attention, your gaze, all about you must be zoned in on God himself. and not the mountain or the things that add up constitute the mountain.
The feelings.
The feelings, the emotions that derive, the struggles that can be very real. You had something?
I was just thinking, and a lot of times it doesn't have to be humongous. It could be a little thing, but could it in your mind's eye, because see, sometimes the mind and the heart can be synonymous. As a man thinketh in his heart, thinketh in his heart, so is he. So it doesn't always have to be something humongous. It could be a little bitty thing that causes you to focus attention on it, whatever it is. And it always does not have to have a name.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
It could be just a lying vanity.
Reasoning or thoughts or conclusions that we draw based on what we've been through, based on what we've walked through.
That's right.
And so we conclude now, number two, number one, the very nature of the mountain. And then number two, that is what brings up doubt and unbelief. What throws that up? Number one, the very nature of the mountain. Number two, the seeming impossibility of the mountain moving from its position and to be cast into what? Into the sea. So underscore, underline the seeming impossibility. It's a mountain, one.
Right.
And then it seems impossible that it moves. Based on you speaking, that it moves from where it is and is cast into the sea. That and more forms the premise for doubt seeping in, and with it, unbelief. And Jesus said, he says, he commands, he gives the word, authoritative, and does not doubt in his heart. But what?
Believes.
So I have a message. Well, I've had a message for us this morning in this regard. Ooh, okay, I'm going to try my best. Two things along these lines. I want to encourage us. You know what? Don't let me use my words. Let me use the words of Jesus. Okay? Let's see the words of Jesus. Is that okay with us? I don't want to use my words. Let's go with Jesus, as always. Not that my words are not his, but I mean from the scripture. Mark 5. And then I'll give that punchline of what I mean. Mark 5. Bible says in 35, while he was what? Mark 5, 35. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is what? Dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not what? Be afraid. Can you mention fear? Can you mention fear? It says, do not be afraid. What? Only believe. We see that fear results not only when negative news comes to the fore, but when we give room to what? Doubt. When we give room to unbelief. And fear has torment. And how do we neuter that? How do we neutralize that? Jesus highlighted belief. And for us to get a core point here that I want to share with us, what did Jesus mean when he said to the man, do not be afraid, only believe? Let's keep in mind what this man's heart and conclusion was before he approached approaching Jesus. Who can remember without looking at it? Who can remember? What was his, when he came to Jesus the very first time, what did he say to Jesus? What did he say to Jesus? What?
Daughter died.
Not that she died, but is dying, yes.
She's dead.
Okay, yeah, depending on whether you're going through Mark's account or Luke's account, but that's fine. But what in approaching Jesus, in worshiping the Lord, what did he say to Jesus? And what he said to Jesus sets the tone for his expectation, that is the basis of his expectation, what he's expecting, how his, because we talk about expectation all the time, but it's based on a heart conclusion, what he's reached. He said what? There's something he said.
Why bother?
No, no, no. So let's read. Let's read it. Mark 5, let's go up a little bit. Verse 22. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. It's instructive to see what comes next. He says, come and lay what? Your hands on her, that what?
She may be healed.
That she may be healed, one, and two, what? And she will live. How sudden can it get? Come lay your hands on her. She will be healed and she will live. She will not die. That's why he came to Jesus. Oh, but news came and said, but she's dead. And Jesus told him what? Do not be afraid, only believe. So in essence, the only believe means, to all intents and purposes, contextually, and when you study this out, keep on believing. Yeah. What was your expectation? What was the conclusion in your heart? What's your conviction as it concerns healing, as by the cross? Stay there. Tarry there. Hold that strong in your heart. Don't change your mind about the truth. Don't change your mind based on signs of the times or what's going on in your body or what's going on out there in the world. Hold on to the truth, the reality, understanding, conclusion. That you got it. Don't change your mind. As I'm saying this to you, I'm saying it to myself too. Any thoughts? What are you allowing to change your belief, or to, is there anything that is really eating at you and at your heart, at the core of who you are? Telling you different, causing some fear and doubt and however else you want to describe it in there. Are you able to identify it for what it is? Is unbelief robbing you in any way, shape or form? It's one thing to recognize it. And then as Jesus said, say, speak. Don't question your belief. Keep on standing on the truth of the word. And so what are you standing on? What word are you assured of in your heart? What has he spoken? What has the Lord spoken to you? Concerning revelation and insight from his word. Mm-hmm. How are you holding on to that? Where are you hiding that? For the rest of the class, let's go to Romans 8:11. Because it's time's almost. And I realize I may not be able to flesh this out.
Where'd you say to go?
Romans 8.
8:11.
Romans 8. Can someone read verse 11 if you're there?
But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you.
What does that mean? Let's not be, you know, shy or bashful or afraid in any way. What does that? Yes,
Charles. It means that if the Spirit of God dwells in me, which it does, it'll do the same thing for me that it did for Jesus. Mm-hmm. Flat out. I mean, for real.
He gives life to your mortal body. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same thing.
Mm-hmm. Same power that rose Jesus mm-hmm. from the dead. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Dwells where?
Inside of me.
Dwells where?
Inside of me.
Yes.
You. Mm-hmm.
Can I know this? And know this? And meditate on this? And study this out?
Yeah.
And pray on as in light. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You get into it one verse and you lay there and you sleep off and you see visions and whatever it is, dreams from, and you wake up and you're still there and you're still tarrying. You're still like, I got this, Lord. Thank you. For you living in me, for your power at work in me, for the healing that is in me, that is mine already. Thank you, Lord. But from, I mean, the word but from the, as far as conjunction goes, from the Greek, is the self same word that also means, is not, it's a, it serves as a conjunction in there, which from the originals is moreover or and if, and other versions bear that out. I just said that to say that. So it's not, but if is not like just painting a conditional picture or anything like that. It's not. It's a continuation. It's a continuative. It's right. It's continuative from the rest of the verses coming before.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. And as Doris said, if there is not, oh, if his spirit dwells in you. No, there is no if, because his spirit dwells in you. We know that from verse 9. Mm-hmm. Who's there? Who's got verse 9? 8, 9.
So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God.
Okay.
But you are not in the flesh.
Say it out, sister. Loud.
But you are not in the flesh.
But where?
But in the spirit.
Okay.
If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his.
Well, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, and the Spirit of God does dwell in you. And there are several, there's no time, there's several scriptures that make this so clear. Mm-hmm. So it's not hypothetical. It's not, you know, it's not wishy-washy. The if is not iffy.
No, that's right.
The if in there is not iffy.
That's right.
You say, oh, if the Spirit, no, he dwells in you.
Mm-hmm. You're born again.
Yeah, you're born again. You're saved. Yep, that's the distinction. The yep. That's the distinction that you can see. And it bears that out in the whole context of the passage, where those who are in the flesh, those who are in the spirit, mm-hmm. not just based on outworking how they behave, but based on their plane of existence, where you live, where you dwell, who you are, what you've been made. Mm-hmm. Born of God, born after his spirit, have his spirit dwelling in you. You are in the spirit is in you, healed.
Mm-hmm. That can be very confusing. Because you think that you're in the flesh if you're sick. Because you're thinking, oh, I'm in the flesh because I'm not feeling good. Mm-hmm. But that was before you were born again. Because you are no longer in the flesh.
Amen.
You are born of God. He lives inside of you.
Preach, Jackie.
Whether you feel it or not. Because that was a huge issue for me in the past. Mm-hmm. Huge. Because I was told I was in the flesh all the time. Yeah, when it was not true.
Wow. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you for sharing that. Now, let's see something. Let's look at that verse again. It says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells where? In you. He who raised. Who is the him and who is the he? And who is the his in this portion? Now, it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his again spirit who dwells in you. Who's the he, the his, and the all in there? Who's that?
God.
It's God the Father.
Yes.
is God.
It's
God.
It's the triune God. Yeah.
God. So God, God, you know, because we say this, but it bears knowing that, look, this is expressly shown and born, B-O-R-N-E, in Scripture, in His Word. It's God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the universe, the galaxies, and all in it. He dwells in you. And there's a key there I want us to see. There's no time, but I'm going to have to say this. That's God, and He dwells in you. So, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus up from the dead dwells in you, then He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies through His Spirit who dwells where? In you. That's the Amplified. Mm-hmm. I'll say this. This portion of Scripture has had many, many, many pastors and teachers and theologians and whatever over time in conversation or arguments about the import of it. That is what it means, what it's talking about. And part of that has been to try and say also that, oh, this portion has nothing to do with healing. Don't cite this and say, oh, this is about healing. Don't go there. To say, oh, it only has to do with about eschatological things, that is, things to do with the end. And so, oh, as it relates to your body, to which I say, oh, yes, I can see that, because here's something I want to give to us today, and then think on this, ponder this, study out. Here's something I want to give to us today. For me personally, I've seen from God's word and from Scripture and my time with the Lord, anything to do with godliness, that is, what God did in and through Christ, which He has freely given to us, anything to do with divine life, eternal life, which is a way, or salvation, soteria, the package, or I'm using different terms to describe things that we are all familiar with, the blessings that have accrued to us based on redemption, all of that stuff that has been given to us has import, has implication, has promise, has impact on life that now is, and that which is to what? Come. So it's not just, oh, the package or eternal life is just for the what? Sweet by and by, or for the end time. I can agree, because we can see, like I said, there's no time. But you see, basically we have, God has given, we have what it takes. He's placed it within. So that we're talking about glorified bodies, by the which our bodies are transformed and then fashioned to be like that of Christ Jesus. When He arose from the dead, and better and greater, and however that is, glorified, He knows how that's going to pan. I can't tell you all the specifics and equations and dynamics for what that body looks like. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians 15 as well. But we know, that we have a general idea of the character of what that will be. Mm-hmm. Yes, but I'm also saying, as we close today, that eternal life, that godliness within you, God within you, God living within you, has import and impact on us in our hearts and physically here and now. And we have to know that. So that when it says quicken, it means what? Quicken. By the way, 1 Timothy 4:8, you can go there, you can just put that down, write that down. 1 Timothy in chapter 4, verse 8. When I said that the things of God, relevance for now and the life that is to come. You can put down Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, 21. Philippians 3, 20 to 21. And as I mentioned, 1 Corinthians 15. Now it is that self same spirit within us that is responsible for quickening. Let's do a quick exercise as we close today. All right. Now, Romans 8:11. The word there, the word quicken there from the Greek is also the word that means revitalize. And you can study this out. What are, It means in the Greek is the word by spiritual power to arouse and invigorate. The Greek for quicken, Romans 8 in your version. It means to revitalize literally or figuratively. The word quicken. Now, what are some of the words? Well, time is up, so I was going to get us to, I wanted us to throw this out. What are synonyms for the word revitalize? You mentioned reinvigorate.
Make alive.
Make alive.
Mm-hmm. Energize.
Energize. You're on point.
Recreate.
Keep going. Recreate. Keep going.
Revival.
Revival. Yeah. It's right there. Mm-hmm. Regenerate. Revival. Restore.
Yeah.
Revivify. Rejuvenate. It's to give strength to. Someone says strengthen. Fortify. Now, all of this and much more, all these and more are by his spirit. Who what? Who dwells where? In us. Who dwells in you?
Yes.
How does he do this? The best way we can cooperate, time, let me leave you with John 6:63. John 6:63. Abide, tarry, and stay, friends, with his word. It says it is the spirit that does what? It is the spirit who quickens or who quickeneth. Mm-hmm. It says the flesh profits what? Little.
Nothing.
And it goes on to say the what? The what? The words that I speak to you, given a breakdown, given an amplification, given pouring more light. The spirit quickens, the spirit energizes, rejuvenates, all those words we've said. How? How can we cooperate? What can be in this outworking to see effectuation or manifestation of that which we have? Mm-hmm. The words that I speak to you, they are what? Spirit and they are life. Mm-hmm. Abide in the word. Tarry. In the word.
Yeah.
Remember I said, what word are you standing on? What are you believing? Where's your heart? What are you meditating on? Stay with the truth as revealed in Jesus.
Yeah.
Can I read John 17 to see the heart of the Master, see Jesus' heart. John 17, John 17. See his heart. The words that I speak are spirit and they are life. You cooperate. Remain in the word, tarry in the word. Keep on believing. Don't doubt. Recognize unbelief. Kick it out. By the way, I didn't even give a title. Exercising unbelief. Exercising unbelief? Question mark. Then excise it. Cut it out. Cut it off. Remove it. Kick it out like Jesus did. All those mourners and whatnot. And Mark, kick them all. What? Blake?
Trespassers will be shot.
Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Lord Jesus. Well over time. Forgive me. Father, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Let's all rise. Let's all stand up. Let's all stand up. If you're in need of a manifestation, if you're in need of a change in the aspects of health right now, please just make bold to step forward and just come to the front real quick. Come to the front real quick. Won't take too much time. Just come to the front real quick. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for your power and presence. Thank you, Lord, for the reality, the done reality of your finished work in and through Christ. Thank you, Father, because we are recipients of your fullness. Thank you, Father, for healing made sure by the cross. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of, and reality of who you are. It is for freedom that you set us free. And indeed, we are the healed. Healed of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Give you all the praise and glory for your goodness and faithfulness in our lives.
Yes, God.
We say we love you, Lord. And thank you for causing us by your Spirit to walk in victory.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you so much.
Hallelujah.
Friends, praise God.
Hallelujah.
We're released. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.